Let us open Ezekiel, book of Ezekiel, chapter 25. Ezekiel 25, and then we'll go to the New Testament, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, the verses 5 to 12. I'll read both texts, but I'll give you a little bit of an introduction right before the text so that you know what you can listen for and read it in this context. This is, as you will see, a prophecy of judgment, but it's different from the prophecies of judgment that we have heard before. What you will see here in this prophecy is that God will judge the nations because of what they've done to God's people. And we'll see the same in 2 Thessalonians. And so rather than looking at this as a judgment against people in general, this is really a depiction of the judgment of those who strike against Christ's bride. And so we will look in that context of a new context, Christian context, so to speak, of the way that God will stand against those who persecute God's people. So be on your focus on your the text, as you will see the reasons of why God stands against these nations. Ezekiel 25, it's the living word of the living God. The word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, set your face toward the Ammonites and prophesy against them. Say to the Ammonites, hear the word of the Lord God. Thus says the Lord God, because you said, aha, over my sanctuary when it was profaned, and over the land of Israel when it was made desolate, and over the house of Judah when they went into exile. Therefore, behold, I am handing you over to the people of the east for a possession, and they shall set their encampment among you and make their dwelling in your midst. They shall eat your fruit, and they shall drink your milk. I will make Rabbah a pasture of camels and Ammon a fold for flocks. Then you will know that I am the Lord. For thus says the Lord God, because you have clapped your hands and stamped your feet and rejoiced with all the malice within your soul against the land of Israel. Therefore, behold, I have stretched out my hand against you and will hand you over as plunder to the nations. And I will cut you off from the people and will make you perish out of the countries. I will destroy you. Then you will know that I am the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, because Moab and Seir said, behold, the house of Judah is like the other nations. Therefore, I will lay open the flank of Moab from the cities, from its cities on its frontier, the glory of the country, Beth Yeshimoth, Baal Meon, and Kiriathaim. I will give it along with the Ammonites to the people of the east as a possession, that the Ammonites may be remembered no more among the nations. And I will execute judgments upon Moab. Then they will know that I am the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, because Edom acted revengefully against the house of Judah and has grievously offended in taking vengeance on them. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, I will stretch out my hand against Edom and cut off from it man and beast. And I will make it desolate from Teman even to Dedan, and they shall fall by the sword. And I will lay my vengeance upon Edom by the hand of my people Israel, and they shall do in Edom according to my anger and according to my wrath, and they shall know my vengeance, declares the Lord God. Thus says the Lord God, because the Philistines acted revengefully and took vengeance with malice of soul to destroy in never-ending enmity. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will stretch out my hand against the Philistines, and I will cut off the Herethites and destroy the rest of the seacoast. I will execute great vengeance on them with wrathful rebukes, and they will know that I am the Lord when I lay my vengeance upon them. Let us now go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, the verses 5-12. In the previous verses, Paul has given thanks and has pointed that in the midst of their persecutions and afflictions, they stayed faithful and grew in their love towards God. And this is how Paul encourages them in the midst of persecution. This is evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be considered worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you are also suffering. Since indeed God considered it just to repay with affliction those who afflict you, and to grant relief to you who are afflicted as well as to us, when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, inflicting vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will suffer the punishment of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might, when he comes on the day to be glorified in his saints and to be marveled at among all who have believed, because our testimony to you was believed. To this end, we always pray for you that our God may make you worthy of his calling and may fulfill every resolve for good and every work of faith by his power, so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. So for the reading of God's holy word, let us pray for a blessing. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray as we have read your word that you would show us by the Holy Spirit an insight into your heart, that we might see the marvelous love and jealousy you have towards and on behalf of your people. While they walk in this world, Father, we pray that you would strengthen us in Jesus' name. Amen. Dearly beloved, as soon as a person becomes a Christian, he enters in the crosshairs of the kingdom of darkness. As soon as he follows Christ, he becomes an enemy of Satan and an enemy of all the rulers and principalities and powers of the air. For the light of the gospel, when it enters into your heart, it will make you a target for darkness, because you are the opposite of all that is darkness. And so the servants of God on earth are described in Scripture as sheep among the wolves, as a gentle people who bring forth the light, that are surrounded by an enemy who hates them and seeks to devour them. We are the sheep of Christ, while Satan is described as a roaring lion going around. Their hearts are tender, they're meek and loving, but the world seeks to devour them. And so the Christian life has always been marked by rejection and persecution from those who hate God and despise the Lord Jesus Christ. The life of those who walk by the Spirit is marked by ridicule or oppression or suffering in different ways. And Paul marks this reality as he writes to this church in Thessalonica. He says, "We ought always to give thanks to God for you, brothers, as is right, because your faith is growing abundantly, and the love of every one of you for one another is increasing. Therefore, we ourselves boast about you in the churches of God for your steadfastness and faith in all your persecutions and in the afflictions that you are enduring." The church was growing in faith and love, but with that endured much persecution from those who rejected the gospel of Jesus Christ. They spread forth this marvelous news of the Lord Jesus Christ, but they were oppressed of those who hated God. Their possessions were taken, they were removed from the synagogues, their families were threatened, they were despised and ridiculed. The persecution was very real. It was not easy to be a Christian. It is hard to follow Jesus Christ in the flesh. They kept on growing in their faith and love, and so they suffered from the hands of men. But they endured. And so Paul knew that with the temptations comes this, that there come temptations with this persecution. He had seen others overcome under the pressures of the hardship of being a Christian in this world. He knows, because he experienced the hardship of being ridiculed or being attacked for the sake of Christ. And that is the experience of every believer, isn't it? If we walk and we serve and we faithfully seek to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, we will be rejected by a world that despises us. We will be attacked by this world who hates that message, and they will make fun of or attack or threaten or be upset when we bring forth the gospel and say, you have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The very light of the Christian makes the world angry with the church. And so Paul points out to the Thessalonians the fact that God is not ignorant of the evil that their persecutors are doing against them. He's saying this persecution is evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be considered worthy of the kingdom of God for which you are suffering. The reason why this persecution is not just seen as something bad, but is seen as an emblem of glory, is because it unifies us with Christ, because as Christ suffered, now we enter into those sufferings. Since indeed, God considered it just to repay with affliction those who afflict you. You hear that? God, verse 6, since God indeed considered it just to repay with affliction those who afflict you. The idea is this: God sees his bride on earth being persecuted. He sees Christians being ridiculed and despised. Even though they walk in love, they are responded to by hate and anger, and they receive the attacks of the powers of darkness and the people who walk in darkness. And God says, I am angry with those who touch my bride. That's what it means. He sees it just to afflict those who afflict you. To you who walk faithfully with God, and people attack you and are angry against you and ridicule you and stand against you, God stands against them. And you think, well, in what way? Well, he first says, and to grant relief to you who are afflicted as well as to us. And then this, when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, inflicting vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see the context here? Yes, this is talking about judgment, but the picture of judgment is this. You, sheep of the Lord Jesus Christ, you who humbly walk as meek sheep across the world, you who love Christ and seek to bring that love of Christ to the world, and then you're mistreated and abused by the world, by the powers of darkness as they come against you. God burns with anger against your enemies, so don't be afraid. Know that I will stand up for you on that final day. Your suffering is but short. Even though it might be intense and though it might feel long and stretching, it is short. Paul says you need to understand two things about persecution. First, it proves your worthiness of the kingdom of God. For it reveals that the kingdom of God is the most precious reality in your life. That's the evidence that persecution brings to our life, that we do not hold back the gospel of Christ, that we do not walk in another way, but we walk by the Spirit. And so as Christ was rejected, so we as his church are rejected in this world. So as we follow Christ, we walk in that same road of suffering and pain and rejection, which, as we saw early this week in Romans, is the evidence that as we suffer with him, so we will also be glorified with him, right? And so this reality of suffering in the Christian life, and the willingness to be ridiculed for the name of Christ, and to persevere in the hardships endured when you walk with Christ in this world, is the evidence that you walk in the same path as the Lord Jesus Christ walked. It's glory. And second, what you should know about persecution is that God will judge those who persecute you with great vengeance. God is jealous over his people, and woe to those who persecute the people of God. God says, vengeance is mine, I will repay. So we don't have to stand up against the world and try to fight the world. God will judge those who come in vengeance against us. But you should also know that if you feel discouraged because of the ridicule, you look at two things. You suffer with Christ, and that's glorious, to suffer with Christ on the earth. And at the same time, everything that will be done against you, that will be said against you, will one day be vindicated by God himself. It is this jealousy on behalf of God's people that we see foreshadowed in Ezekiel 25. As Christians, when you read Ezekiel 25 as a believer, what we should see is that God is judging the nations on behalf of his people. The way they treated God's people, he stands up against these nations. God judged Ammon and Moab and Seir and Edom and Philistia because they persecuted, insulted Israel. God was angry with them because they despised his people. So I want to look with you at three things this morning. First of all, God's jealousy on behalf of his people. Secondly, to set this jealousy in our view as a means of comfort and endurance and perseverance. And thirdly, to live without fear for the glory of God, whatever the cost. Let's begin with this jealousy of God on behalf of his people. Beloved, God is deeply moved with his church on earth. He loves them like no husband loves his wife. He loves them with such a zeal and such a care and such a tenderness and such a deep, overwhelming, and protective love that you would be frightened to see the vengeance that he strikes with the vengeance that he strikes against those who hate and despise his church. The church is called the bride of Christ, precious and beloved in the eyes of God. And this was foreshadowed in Israel, what God is described as Israel, as his wife. Israel was an adulterous wife, but nonetheless his wife. So after God has dealt with Israel for their adultery, he turns to the nations with anger. Did you see that? He is furious with the nations. He says, what have you done against my Israel? What we see is an angry God whose anger rages against the despisers of his people who mistreated his wife. And here are the reasons, right? In verse 25, verse 3, and the reasons the Ammonites are judged is because they says, aha, over my sanctuary when it was profaned. And they were laughing. They saw Israel being destroyed for their sin, yes, but destroyed, and the nations around them were laughing at Israel. And God is furious. Verse 25, or verse 6 and 7, they clapped their hands and stamped their feet. They're rejoicing and rejoicing with all the malice within their soul. And God says, I have stretched out my hands against you, and I will plunder you. They rejoiced over the pain and suffering of God's people, and God burns with anger. Then the Moabites and the Seirites, verse 8, it says, behold, this is what the people said, behold, the house of Judah is like all the other nations. They're just like anybody else. They're ridiculing God's people, and God burns with anger. Verse 12 and 13 of the Edomites. Edom acted revengefully against the house of Judah and has grievously offended in taking vengeance on them. These people actually struck the Israelites. And so God's anger burns against them because they touched his wife. Verses 15 and 17 of the Philistines. They acted revengefully and took vengeance with malice of soul to destroy in never-ending enmity. And God says, I will execute great vengeance on them with wrathful rebukes. I will lay my vengeance on them. It actually continues in chapter 26, verse 2. This is what the people of Tyre said. They said, "Aha, the gates of the people is broken. It has swung open to me. I shall be replenished now that she is laid waste." They say, we can just steal their stuff now. What we see in the next few chapters is that God has plenty of other reasons to judge the nations, but the first and foremost reason is the way they dealt with his people. You ever think about that? That God is jealous over his people. And when people come against you and you feel defeated, you feel weak, when you share the gospel and people shout in your face or seek to hurt you in whatever way, seek to ridicule you and despise you. If we look at our brothers and sisters in Korea and China and the Middle East and all over the world, these brothers and sisters go forth and share the gospel. Then you have wicked men and wicked women slaying the children, slaying them, imprisoning them, starving them, ridiculing them. God's word says, God is jealous over his people. He sees the way in which God's people are despised in the world. He is angry with those who cause his people harm and will greatly punish them. Now, if God punished the nations who mistreated Israel that had been unfaithful to God, how much more will he judge those who persecute God's faithful bride, the church? Paul describes it in this way. God will repay when the Lord Jesus revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, inflicting vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel. Ezekiel 25 is an earthly picture of the final judgment. Even though the church may seem meek and weak on the earth as she patiently suffers the persecution as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, her King is not weak. And in the end, he will rise up and repay the peoples who abused and persecuted God's people when his flaming angels appear to inflict judgment. Jesus will arise for his bride, and he will repay each insult, each act of violence, and each act of persecution against his bride, and the church will triumph in glory, shining forth in perfection of holiness. Now, why do we need to know this? Why do we need to know all of this? Well, for this very reason, God wants you to understand how precious you are to him. If you follow the Lord Jesus Christ, he wants you to see that he is not blind when you are mistreated and persecuted by the world. He is not unaware of the ridicule and the suffering and the hatred that is begun against his bride, and one day he will rise up. And woe to those who stood against God's people and did not repent. You know why? Because if you understand that, you will not hold back the gospel if you know persecution arises. But you will go forth and forth and forth no matter what will happen, because you know in the end, you will see the Lord Jesus Christ, and you know that everything inflicted to you will be repaid. We are not weak in the end. We're weak in this world. You know why? Because as Christ came to the earth, so we walk in the earth. As people who suffer, willingly suffer to bring salvation to the world. We don't pay for salvation, but by God's Spirit, by Christ's Spirit, we walk into the world suffering as Christ suffered. As small reflections upon the great Lord Jesus Christ as we walk as he walked in the earth. But one day our King will rise up and say, now it's enough. And so we must set his jealousy in view. Without understanding the jealousy of God, persecution can kill your zeal for God. It really can. People always have these strange statements, say, well, when people are persecuted, then they will go and rise up. That's not always true. If you're persecuted, then you run back into your homes and say, I'm never going to say that again. We must learn more about what God has told us in His Word. It will bring discouragement, for it will make you believe that evil is winning and that the kingdom of darkness is stronger than the kingdom of God. After all, the world appears much stronger than the church, but this, dear believers, is only temporary. This is not what it shall be. Time is running out for the kingdom of darkness to manifest its evil heart through its evil deeds. In a little while, Satan, the demons, and all God's enemies will be thrown into the second death. There will be a time where those who have evilly mistreated you, if they do not repent, they will have to pay for everything they've done against you, not just because of you, but because of the Lord Jesus' name that is written over your life. You see the reality of the Christian life, how God is jealous over His people. Now, we don't walk around and say, you better not touch me because Christ will strike vengeance on you. No, we plead and we seek to be humble and meek and loving and urging people to come to Christ. But at the same time, we know that God will rise up for us on that final day and every evil deed will be repaid, especially those done against Christ and His body. On that day, God's faithful church, with every scar of persecution and every tear of insult, will be transformed into a mark of beauty and glory that reflects the Lord Jesus Christ. So do not be afraid of scars. Do not hold back. When people persecute you and you feel defeated and you feel deflated and you feel, well, whenever I try to bring the gospel, all I get is insults. Whenever I try to bring the gospel, people hate me. And it's hard because I want to defend myself because I am treated unfairly. If you see that, how much more does Christ see it? We don't strike back in vengeance. But one day God will. So don't hold back. Go forth in the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ. Go further. Go deeper. Don't stop your mouth from speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ. You must persevere. Because, as Paul said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, he says, this is evidence of the righteous judgment that you may be considered worthy of the kingdom of God. God is jealous on behalf of His people. He is not ignorant. He hears every insult against His bride. Now, I'm fairly certain that if one of you would be so brave enough to go to Joy here, and when Ward is standing next to Joy and you start insulting Joy, you get in trouble. Right? If you're a man, you'll go down, very likely. Why? If you give an insult to Ward, probably he will give an insult back. But if you insult somebody's bride, there's an anger that rises up in a husband because he knows he has the given duty to protect her. And so he will stand against you with all that he's got. That's the picture we have of God, that He watches over His bride. He stands with a strong arm, ready to protect His bride. He will judge those who afflict you very soon. And so you must set God's jealousy before you and realize that He has not forgotten you in the midst of your persecution. You see that? You must always, when you feel attacked, by all people around you, when you go out into the world and you share the gospel and everybody's making fun of you and ridicule and you feel defeated and you feel crushed and you feel down and you feel trodden over and despised and rejected by everyone, know that God will stand up on your behalf. That's what the passage says. He will reward his people, for he sees it all. Matthew 5, 11 to 12 says this, "Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." God's people have always been persecuted. It is impossible to live the Christian life for any amount of time and not be affected by the attacks of darkness. You will be persecuted. If you live by the Spirit of Christ, if you go out, you will be ridiculed. You will be sneered at, and if the country and the laws allow, you will be hurt or killed, or your possessions might be taken away from you, your family might despise you. It will happen, because it's light shining in the darkness, and those who don't want to turn to the light will attack you like a wild animal. The ways might be different, but darkness always manifests itself in persecution. But when you are attacked, do not hold back love. Do not hide it. And if you struggle in your heart and you feel it's unfair the way you are being treated and you wish that somebody would stand up for you, just remember that one day somebody will. And then all will be made right. Now, what's the purpose of all of this? Well, I think there's only one goal in understanding all of this. It's not for me to go out into the world and tell everybody, if you persecute me, you'll die. Well, I need to tell them of the judgment to come, but I don't go out in a proud sense of telling everybody how they will die if they persecute me. It's not for them, it's for us. This is written for us. This passage is not to go out and preach into the world. If you persecute the church, you're going to go to hell. We need to preach hell, but that's not the point of this text. This point is written for the church's encouragement to keep going. To keep going. The reason why Paul told the Thessalonians of the judgment of God upon their persecutors was that they might live without fear for the glory of God. The reason why God made Ezekiel prophesy the judgment against the nations is that we might live without fear, without doubt, without holding back, but boldly loving God. Beloved believer, if you are living for the glory of God, I know that you are suffering persecution. I know that you will receive insults, and I know that you are despised by some, for the light you bring angers those who walk in darkness. But you must never grow discouraged. You must never decrease your zeal for God. Your zeal for holiness, your fervency in faith and love. Grow, grow, grow. Don't worry about showing them how strong you are. You just keep going with the gospel, going with the gospel, loving and loving and loving. Even if it means your death. But know this, God is watching. And he will vindicate you. He will stand up on your behalf on that final day. For Jesus Christ will honor you in the end. You are pure persecuted because you honor God in a world that hates him. Listen to the prayer of Paul in 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 11 to 2 and to 1. "To this end we pray for you, that our God may make you worthy of his calling, and may fulfill every resolve for good and every work of faith by his power, so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, I pray that God may make you worthy of his calling, that you walk without shame, that you walk without fear, that you bring forth the gospel of God no matter what the world says, no matter whether they spit you in the face or hate you or anything like that. You show them the love of Christ until your dying day. And if you feel mistreated, if you feel that injustice is being done to you, know that God will make all things right in the end. That's the idea. And that's the idea of the judgment in Ezekiel 25. This is not to scare God's children. This is to make them bold, to make them realize that they are on the winning side, and that their bodies might die, that he who sits in the heavens, who can kill both the body and the soul, stands with them against those who can only kill the body. Dear beloved, the world seems to become more and more hostile against God's word and against his people. But remember that God's people have always suffered persecution. Let us not be afraid or be distracted, but increase our resolve to fulfill the work of God that has given us to do. Let us increase rather than decrease. To stand strong, whatever the days that lie before us. Let us never fear the hands or the wounds that can be inflicted by men, for God will rise up on the final day. Let us not be afraid of insults or even the loss of our possessions. Instead, let us make sure that the name of the Lord Jesus Christ is glorified through you, that they can see and hear the gospel in your life, whatever the cost. Let us live worthy lives of this high calling. There is no need to fear men, their threatening, or the consequences of their actions, for God will repay. Let God judge our enemies, but let us preach the gospel, because maybe one of them might still repent and believe. We have a Lord to follow. We have a message to proclaim and a mission to accomplish, and the New Testament prepares us with every sort of weapon against any kind of excuse that will go up in our mind and say, I better hold back. I better love the Lord, but I love him privately and I don't show his love to the world. And God gives us an answer to every excuse the flesh can bring up. Injustice, God will make justice. It's painful, but Christ is the ointment for our wound. It's hard, but Christ gives me strength. It's difficult, but God gives me wisdom. It's impossible, but God gives us prayer, and all things are possible in him. You see how the New Testament answers every objection to go forth and bring the gospel. Listen to the words of our Lord. Matthew 10. Verses 26 to 28. So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the dark, say in the light. In other words, what you learn in the hiddenness of devotion to God, you must speak in the light, in the world outside. What you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. You know what that means? You're a young man and you think, I want to do something with action. I want to use the strength of my youth. There's a good word. Do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Go forth, even if it means death. That's what Christ says. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. walk in reverence before God and do not ever be followed by the attacks or persecutions of men. Rather, be led by a reverence and honor and fearing of God, so you will walk with Him no matter what the cost, no matter how much it will cost you, no matter what you lose, no matter how much pain you suffer, no matter even if you lose your life. But do not hold back what God has told you to say. When God speaks to you in dark, speak in the light. What you have heard whispered, proclaim on the rooftops. And do not be afraid that people might kill you, because they might, but they cannot kill the soul. True Christians are guaranteed to suffer, for the world hates the light. But let us not fear men. They might insult us, they might imprison us, they might kill the body. Let us fear God. If He tells us to speak, we speak. We will not be afraid. We will not bow down. We will not give in. Because this world needs to see Christ until they will all see Him when He returns. So brothers and sisters, be strong. Don't ever let the excuse of saying I'm being treated unfairly go into your mind again. Let it linger. Say, God will make all things right in the end. So stay strong and be bold. Let us pray. The Heavenly Father, I pray that You would help Your people to be bold in the midst of the injustice of evil against them, to stand strong, knowing that their God, their King, our King, reigns and will do what is right. You're great, O Lord, and Your love is beyond the price of anything in this world. It's deeper and it's more lovely. I pray that You would help us to understand it in every possible way, so that we might walk in the light as You are in the light, and never hide Your light. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.